senior choir and the work they put in to sing for us and share with us, and also our children's choir as they sang this morning. If you'll go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 5, we're going to deal with the text there in Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20 in just a moment. I can remember late high school, early college, somewhere along in there, going to the golf course one afternoon in the summer in Augusta, Georgia, in the heat. If you've not lived below Atlanta, you're not accustomed to the heat that Augusta has. I'm just telling you. It's a different heat than what you get here. The humidity is just more intense. It's not a fun thing in the summertime, but one of the things that comes with that is summer thunderstorms pop up quickly. So as I teed off, it was a sunny day. As I make my way up the second hole on the course, because of the way that course is laid out, it's actually on the front nine. It's one of the furthest distances from the clubhouse because hole number one literally runs directly away from the clubhouse. So as I'm starting up the hole and up, literally up in the fairway and starting up, cloud, I can see it coming up over the trees, just starting to come over. And by the time I got to the green, you could hear thunder. Well, fortunately, as I said, I was young then, so I was actually walking and carrying my bag because that's what you had to do in high school and college golf. So I'm walking and carrying my bag, but I happened to be with a couple of guys who were riding, and they said, hop on the back of the cart. So I hopped on the back of the cart, and we rode over to a shelter that was nearby. Well, it was a concrete block shelter with a concrete floor, and we're standing there, and by this time it's raining pretty hard. There's thunder and lightning all around, and as I'm standing there, I'm looking out into the fairway beside me, and about 150 yards from me, lightning strikes the fairway, and it literally runs across the ground. It was pretty incredible to experience. A guy was leaning against a metal post on that building, and he literally, it shocked him a bit when the lightning hit, and he pulled his hand back from it. That's as close as I've ever been to lightning personally, and I hope I'm never any closer. It's hard to believe now that it's been almost 2 years since our church was hit by lightning. If you would go ahead and show that video. Here's a video loop of our church that was taken from Hayes shutters across the street. You can see where the lightning is striking the church. This was almost 2 years to the date. It's just a few days different from now when the church was hit. But it was pretty amazing that day when I pulled up in the parking lot. I noticed on the lawn out here there was debris in the lawn. And I began to look at it more closely. And as I got closer to it, I could see that it was brick, that it was wood. And it was some of it was 75, 100 feet from the building. And it was pretty incredible to consider what took place. As I traveled a little bit farther up the parking lot, moving slowly, I noticed a hole in the roof. And when I went up into the attic, I saw where the lightning had come through the roof and gone out the wall and blown that brick and wood out into the yard. And it was amazing to see the shards of wood in the attic, some of them not much bigger than a toothpick. But then I began to think about how God had protected us. Even though we were struck by lightning, our church could have burned down that night. But God allowed that lightning to hit us, but it went out the wall and didn't do any more damage than it did. Grateful for that. But in thinking about that, I looked up to see just how powerful lightning is. And according to what I found on the internet, as you know, everything on the internet is true. Or maybe not. But anyway, what I found out about lightning is that one single bolt contains over 5 billion joules. Now, I'm not accustomed to exactly what that means, so a little more digging and found out that's enough power to run your house for a month, to run the average home for a month. But consider this. We serve the God who literally tells every lightning bolt where to go, who controls it all. That's who we're talking about today, the power of God. This morning I want to look at a text in Mark that's a little sample of the power of God. Although it's a little sample, it's still a pretty amazing example of just how powerful our God is. Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, and I'll ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's word. Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. They came to the other side of the sea, to the region of the Gerasenes. As soon as he got out of the boat, a man with an unclean spirit came out of the tombs and met him. He lived in the tombs, and no one was able to restrain him anymore, not even with a chain, because he often had been bound with shackles and chains, but had torn the chains apart and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and knelt down before him. And he cried out with a loud voice, "What do you have to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you before God, don't torment me." For he had told him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." "What is your name?" he asked. "My name is Legion," he answered him, "because we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the region. A large herd of pigs was there, feeding on the hillside. The demons begged him, "Send us to the pigs so that we may enter them." So he gave permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs. The herd of about 2,000 rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned there. The men who tended them ran off and reported in the town and the countryside, and people went to see what had happened. They came to Jesus and saw the man who had been demon-possessed sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs. Then they began to beg him to leave their region. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged him earnestly that he might remain with him. Jesus did not let him, but told him, "Go home to your own people and report to them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So he went out and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and they were all amazed. May the Lord add richly to the reading of his word. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you that your word is truth, not a truth among many truths, but is absolute truth. God, open our hearts and minds today that we might hear from you. God, help us to apply your truth. Help us today to understand a little more about the power of God, about your power, Lord, what you can do to change lives. I pray right now, Lord, that I might decrease, that you might increase, and may your truth be spoken here. It's in your precious name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. First of all, the power of God can cause his enemies to fear. The power of God can cause fear in his enemies. In Mark's gospel, we're only told of one of the demon-possessed men that Jesus and his disciples encountered that day. In Matthew, we learn that there were two of them, and apparently these two tormented people and dared to pass by this area. Mark, however, is the most detailed account, telling us that they not only lived in the tombs, but that they couldn't be restrained. They were so violent that if they put them in shackles and chains, they would break the shackles and tear apart the chains. Now, I don't know about you, but if I knew about somebody who was like that, I would definitely detour to not have to go by them. We learn from the text that night and day they would scream, they would cry out, and it had to be not only frightening, but very annoying. I mean, I don't know many people who, want to hear their neighbor's dog bark all night or anything of that sort. Some of you are giving testimony right now. But who was going to make him stop? I mean, if chains and shackles couldn't hold him, nobody was going to say, "Hey, dude, hold it down." Not only were they loud, Mark tells us that he would cut himself. So I can only imagine how dirty and nasty he was with dried blood as he would cut himself. And it was really a frightening sight to behold. Now, when he saw Jesus from a distance, the demons within him knew he was the Son of God. And he ran and he knelt down before him. Okay, now think about that for just a second. We've already established the fact that chains and shackles could not contain them. Nobody could do anything to calm him down. And yet when Jesus shows up, the demons recognize he is the Son of God. And this man comes and kneels before Jesus. This tells us a little bit about the power of God. It makes me think of a couple of verses I've heard a time or two in Philippians. "So that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." You see, everybody, whether they want to or not, will confess Jesus is Lord because he is Lord. There is no other option for him to be anything other than Lord. He is God. He is eternal God. There's never been a time that he didn't exist, and yet he came and lived among us and took our place on the cross so that you and I could have forgiveness of our sins. But even these demons knew who Jesus is and had sense enough to kneel before him. Even though they weren't willing to serve him, they bowed before him. Too many people are running around today thinking that they won't have to bend a knee to Jesus, thinking that Jesus isn't anything but a fairy tale and a myth, a crutch for the weak. However, those of us who know him know that he is the living God. But you and I who know him need to be living for him so that they see him in us. The man cried out, but you need to know that it was the demon or the demons in him that was really doing the talking. The demon was afraid because he knew the power of Almighty God was right there in front of him. The demon basically says to Jesus, hey, what do you have to do with us? I mean, what are you doing here? I'm scared. Same guy that couldn't be contained, same guy everybody was afraid of, suddenly basically has his tail tucked between his legs because the power of God is standing in front of him. God causes his enemies to be afraid. When we moved to Lincoln County, where I served before coming here, we came in October, sort of just past the midway of the football season. In Lincoln County, football was huge. It was a big deal. Single A high school. The head coach there is the all-time winningest in Georgia high school football history. He won 31 region titles in his career, 11 state titles. Well, in 2005, when we moved there, they were in the middle of what became a historic season. They started off the year 0-3, and then they won their next 12 straight. Not only did they win the region title, they won the state title that year. The next year, they went 14-1 and won state again for back-to-back state titles. They're the only school in the state of Georgia who has a current streak of 5 straight decades of state titles. The only other school in the state of Georgia to ever do that is a football powerhouse that many of you are aware of by the name of Valdosta. Theirs is not current, but Lincoln County will have to win it this year for theirs to remain current. By this year, I mean in the fall. But one of the things that came with that reputation was a bit of an aura about them. Whenever you would go to somebody else's stadium or whenever somebody else would come to our stadium, you could almost already see a sense of fear in the eyes of opposing teams. And if they came in there confident, it didn't take long for that confidence to wear off in many cases, because there was something about that intimidation, that history, and what people knew about them from history, that as soon as things went the wrong direction, they shrunk back and they didn't win. As a matter of fact, while we were there, there were a number of teams that they played year after year after year that had lost to them over 35 straight seasons. One year, one of those teams we were playing was a school in Augusta by the name of Aquinas High School. It was a private Catholic school, and they recruited players in from time to time, and they had a good team. They had a tailback who also played linebacker who went on to the University of Georgia and played at the University of Georgia by the name of Brendan Douglas. Fortunately for him, he was there behind a couple of really good running backs, and he didn't get a whole lot of playing time, but he did get some playing time there. But Aquinas beat Lincoln County in the stats and up and down the field. But late in the game, when things were close, Lincoln County scored, and you could see the air come out of Aquinas. And here we go again, sort of mindset set in, and Lincoln County ended up beating them. For all the intimidation that they carried in the last few years, many of those streaks have gone by the wayside because they didn't have the athletes and they didn't compete as well as they had in years past. But I want to say this to you. No matter how other people might let us down, God's power never changes. God's power will never fade. He is the victor. I've read the end of the book, and God wins. The good news for us is we're on the winning team. Now listen, I'm just a chump with no power whatsoever, but God is all powerful. He is sovereign, and he has made the way possible for us to have forgiveness and eternal life. He struck fear in Satan the day that Christ walked out of the grave, and I know he'll take me to be with him one day as well. He set me free from my enemies because he has claimed the victory. So we serve a powerful God, and the power of God can cause fear in his enemies. Secondly, the power of God can overcome whatever is destroying you. These demons were destroying this man. These demons were causing him to do all sorts of things that were destructive to his body, destructive to his relationships, destructive to his reputation in the community. I don't pretend to know what might have power over you today that's keeping you from experiencing close fellowship with God. I don't claim to know what addictions you may be facing, and I wouldn't trivialize them even if I did know. And I don't claim to know what emotional struggles you may be dealing with that have a firm grip on you. I don't claim to know what storms you're going through in your life right now that have you defeated and discouraged. However, I do know one that is more powerful than anything you're facing. I do know one that can help you overcome anything that you might be facing today. The question is, do you know him? If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you need to know him. He's the only one who can forgive your sins. He's the only one who can give you eternal life. The second question is for those who already know him. Are you willing to give God your struggle? Or are you trying to carry it yourself? Jesus showed up and the demons cowered before him and they couldn't be contained by anyone else. They begged Jesus to cast them into an entire herd of pigs. They were so afraid of Jesus that possessing a bunch of pigs sounded like a good place to be rather than facing what Jesus could do to them. God created the heavens and the earth. God empowers the sun to shine, the earth to rotate, the tides to change, and on and on and on. God does powerful things. So what exactly is it in your life that you think God can't overcome? Because he can. I realize that with addiction, it can feel like there's no hope. I realize it can feel like a 10,000-pound boulder that can't be removed. However, God can move it, but we have to be willing to give whatever it is to him. God can do things that no one else can do or ever will be able to do. God makes the amazing look routine, frankly, nearly mundane, and we take it for granted. Now, many of you know I'm a fan of baseball. I'm not just a Braves fan or a Red Sox fan or a Truett McConnell Bears fan. I'm a fan of the game, and I love to see baseball, and I love to see guys who make it look easy. I've got a little video for you. Go ahead and run it there. This is a fellow that plays for the Chicago Cubs. He's one of the best middle infielders in the game right now. His name is Javier Baez, and he makes some of the craziest plays look easy. He's just so smooth at how he does things and how he makes his plays. You're going to see a loop of several here. It's unreal to watch, and I enjoy watching this stuff. I could watch this stuff all day, just seeing the things that he does. Some of the tags he makes at second base, and you're going to see some of those in a minute. It's incredible where he catches the ball and then applies the tag. He's got great hands. And here's a play where he's playing shortstop. The ball gets past the third baseman. He doesn't give up on the play, hustles after it, and then throws the guy out at second base. Easy. I mean, it's just crazy stuff you see him do over and over that blows my mind. He's an incredible player. There's one I want you to see in a minute. There's a backhand play that's just unreal, and the Army has. Looks a lot like me playing in my dreams. Trying to decide between the ball and the broken bat. Incredible. That was an unassisted double play, by the way. He caught that ball in the air and then tagged him out. And I look at this play going away from the field. If you've never played baseball, you don't know how hard that is to turn your back on the ball and run to it like that. That's a very difficult play. This is my favorite right here. Watch this tag. He's already pointing at the catcher, praising the catcher for how quick the throw gets down there as the ball's in the air. Look at this. He's already pointing at him saying, yeah. That's incredible. You can stop. They've seen enough. Yeah, it goes on. And I mean, as much fun as I have watching him do those kinds of things and watching guys who can make those kind of plays, let me say this. Anything that any human being can do is child's play compared to what God can do. God can do so much more than any human being would ever be able to do. If you've never stood or sat out here in the parking lot in the afternoon on a clear day, I would encourage you to do it. Because right back over there, over the Cajada Mountains, God shows off every sunset. As you watch that sun set, just slowly begin to disappear and then suddenly drop behind the Cajada Mountains. It's an incredible thing to watch. I honestly don't see how anyone can sit and watch that take place and think that it happened by chance. God created the sun, the mountains, and set them in place and created the sunset, and he allows us to enjoy the beauty of his handiwork. This is the God that we serve. This is the God that can overcome whatever may be destroying you. Like I said before, I don't know what you might be going through. I don't know what might be weighing you down, but I do know God has the power to overcome it. If you are willing to submit yourself to him, if you're willing to let go of it and trust those problems to him, he will see you through. I'm not telling you that it's going to be easy. I'm not telling you that he will just make everything go away, but I am telling you he will give you the strength that you need to overcome. Just make sure that you don't think, I want to make sure this morning rather that you don't think that I'm just telling you something that's of my opinion. This is what the Word of God says in Romans chapter 8. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, because of you, we are being put to death all day long, but we are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the Apostle Paul talking. That's the one who had been shipwrecked, who had been beaten, who had been stoned, who had been bitten by a snake, who had gone through all sorts of things for the cause of Christ, and yet he could say, I'm convinced that none of these things can overcome us. None of these things can ever separate us from the love of God. That is the kind of God that we serve. So instead of trying to carry things on your own, give it to God and allow God to help you overcome it. He will do that in your life. So we see the power of God can cause fear in his enemies, and the power of God can overcome whatever is destroying you. But thirdly, the power of God can radically change your life. I want you to look again at the text and see what happens to this man after Jesus set him free. Verses 18 through 20, as he was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged him earnestly that he might remain with him. Same guy that couldn't be controlled, same guy that would break out of shackles and chains is now begging Jesus to go with him. Verse 19, Jesus didn't let him but told him, go home to your own people and report to them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. So he went out and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and they were all amazed. Do you see that? Literally, minutes before, this gentleman was tormented by demons. That day, he had probably cut himself with stones. That day, he had yelled multiple times, and people who could hear him yelling cringed just thinking about this tormented individual who was tormenting others. Just minutes before, this guy sees Jesus and comes up to him and bows before him. Minutes before, those demons are afraid of Jesus and he's kneeling at the feet of Jesus. Just minutes before, this man is a pawn used in a cruel game by these demons. But then came Jesus. Jesus set him free. I came to know Christ as a six-year-old boy. And I've said multiple times, at six, you don't have a whole storied history you're coming to Christ with at age six. I wasn't hooked on red Crayolas, but they will set you free. But I can tell you this, even at 6 years old, when I prayed and asked Christ into my life, when I asked his forgiveness, even at six, to this day at 52, I still remember the weight of that sin being lifted from me. But I can't even begin to fathom or imagine what it must have been like for this man to be set free from that legion of demons. The weight that must have been lifted from his life. He didn't know much about Jesus yet, but he knew enough to want to follow him wherever he went. Now notice, however, that Jesus doesn't let him come along. Instead, Jesus told him to go home and tell all those that he knew what the Lord had done for him. Now, do you think this guy had anything to say to people? I mean, come on, he was a new believer. I mean, he hadn't been discipled yet. He hadn't been to seminary. Folks, he was a walking, living, breathing testimony of how God can radically change a life. He had plenty to say because people could see in his life what God had done in him. Now, he went around the Decapolis telling others about what Christ had done. The Decapolis was a 10-city area in Syria, Jordan, and Palestine, and they were primarily Gentile cities. And given this man's past, there's no question that his reputation had been spoken of widely. People knew who he was. Now the same guy was going around telling people about what Jesus had done in his life. I wouldn't presume anything, but it's likely that none of us here can really relate to personal demon possession in our past or pre-Christian life. However, we should be able to give a testimony about what God has done in our lives. You don't have to have a dramatic past to know a radical change because of Christ. When we give God room in our lives, he changes us. I may have only been 6 when I came to know Christ, but he's made a tremendous difference in my life. I know the peace that he brings. I know the comfort that I have knowing about where I'm going to spend my eternity. Folks, I can't tell you how much it excites me to know there's more, so much more than this life has to offer because I've read the book, because I've read what God says will take place, and I know that I belong to him. You see, I'm not in bondage to sin any longer. I have victory over sin because of what Christ did in me. That doesn't mean I'm not tempted, because I am, but when I trust him, when I turn to him, when I rely on him for strength, I can overcome whatever may come my way in his power. Jesus wants us to follow him. He wants us to learn from him. And as we go, he wants us to tell others about what he's done for us. In light of that fact, in light of the fact that he gave everything for us, the least that we can do is tell others about him. God gives life to those who were once dead, and that's a radical change. The power of God can cause fear in his enemies. The power of God can help you overcome whatever is destroying you, and the power of God can radically change your life. Are you aware of what God has done in your life? As a believer, are you telling people about what God has done in your life, the change, the difference that he's made? Christians, if we have truly encountered God in our lives, we have a testimony about him. We need to be using that testimony to tell others about him. Time is far too short, and eternity is far too long not to tell people about what Christ has done for us. You see, people can dispute the word of God if they want to, and you can give them all sorts of evidence about why you can depend, why you can rely upon the word of God as being truth. But ultimately, the one thing that no matter how much they want to try to dispute, that they can't take away from you is what Christ has done in your life. When you know what he's done in your life, you have a testimony to tell. You have a testimony to share with others about how he's made a difference for you. But people, we can't afford to be silent. We can't afford to keep it in. We must tell. If you're here today and you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ, I want to say to you, he's real. He left heaven and he came to earth for you and for me, and he would do it again if it were necessary, but praise God it's not. The book of Hebrews reminds us very clearly that he died once and for all. He paid the price for our sins. I got to tell you, I didn't deserve that. And let me just be blunt for a moment, you didn't either. All of us are sinners. All of us deserve to spend our eternity separated from God. What the word of God very clearly speaks of is a literal hell, but the good news is it's his desire that none should perish, that none should go there. But he's not going to make you love him. He gives you the option to choose, to ask his forgiveness and invite him into your life. If you've never done that, I want to encourage you to do that. Christian, if you're carrying around some burden, if you're carrying around some struggle in your life right now, you're going through some hardship, give it to God. Listen, I'm not going to stand here and give you some sort of garbage about, oh, if you give it to God, everything's going to be perfect, because that's not even remotely biblical, not even remotely close to what the Word of God says. But the Word of God does make it clear that he will never leave or forsake us, that he will be with us through it. And the Word of God very clearly says that he works everything together for our good. Even those struggles, even those hard times, God works together for our good, so we can trust it to him. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is you're carrying, but he does. Give it to him today. Maybe you're here and God's leading you to become a part of this body of believers to serve him through the ministry of this church. whatever God's put on your heart, maybe you just need to come and spend time with God. Maybe you have some people in your life that you know don't know Christ, and you want to ask God for the strength to share with them, and you want to pray for them, for God to work in their heart. This altar's open for you as well this morning. Let God have his way right now. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for amazing grace, and we thank you that we serve the God who created all, the God who has control of it all. And Lord, even though right now we know you're allowing a time for sin to move about this earth, God, we thank you that you've made a way possible for us to know you and to have forgiveness from our sin. And we know that one day you'll return. One day you'll establish your rule and your reign here. But Lord, for those who are here today that don't know you, I pray that today they would place their trust in you. And God, for those of us who do know you, help us to be confident in you, knowing that no matter what we face, you will see us through. So God, we give this invitation time to you. We ask you to have your way in this place right now and in our hearts. Whatever we need to do to honor you right now, we give this time to you. It's in your precious and wonderful name we pray these things. Amen.